Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. And today our three scriptures will be in the book of, number one, Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. The second one will be the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. And the last one will be the book of Psalms 46 and 10. And we will read the first reading, Revelation chapter 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Hallelujah. Number 2, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, and the time when kings were fought to go, were fought to battle, that kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Move on. And it came to pass, in an even tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You're going to have an interesting time today. Hallelujah. Psalms 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heaven. I will be exalted in the earth. Hallelujah. So finally today, we are bringing to an end our journey on special appointment with God. And today we'll be looking at the third activity and the third level of our special appointment. Our third activity is the protocol of what? The incense, okay? The altar of what? Incense. And then the last level in this journey is engaging the atmosphere. I hope you remember. So quick one, we started with special appointment with God, as we know it as retreat, as one of the ways by which we can mind prayer effectively. Do we all agree? Yes. And then first of all, we looked at conditions that will necessitate what? Special appointment. For all that we know, we already started what we called waiting, which is also an appointment with God. That is our daily engagement with God. And we say that it is necessity that every day we have an engagement with God, true or false? True. But there are going to be times that certain conditions will begin to appear or show forth. When those conditions are coming up, it means that you need to what? Book a special time with God and go on a special appointment with Him. Is that not it? Okay. Then we move on to the outcomes of what? Special appointment. And we establish that whenever we go for special appointment, mostly we enter into the glory realm and transact business with God in the glory realm. And we found out that as far as it is the glory realm, things are not free. So I said over here that God is not a God of debut all the time. Freebies all the time. God is a God of freebies in the grace economy. But when you enter the glory economy, God is what? A businessman. He sells. He sells eyelash. He sells what? Raiment. God has commodities he ought. He sells. So they are what? Price tags whenever we want to transact business with God in the what? Glory realm. So that is where we looked at the outcome of what? Special appointment. That it normally leads us into the transacting business with God in the glory realm. Then from there, we came into what? The protocols of what? Special appointment. That means that the things we need to know, the guides, the things we have to put in place to help us to be able to what? Have a special appointment with God. So we looked at the nature or the type of retreat we were going for. Is that not it? The kinds of retreats, the type of retreat, and the things we have to put in place. Then we came into the next phase, is practicing. Now that we have understood the condition, now we know the outcome we are looking for, we have come to understand the protocols. Now how do we practice it? And the practice started with introducing us to how to what? Approach God. And we said that the fact that the Bible said that we should come boldly doesn't mean we should come anyhow. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says that we should come boldly before the throne room of what? So coming boldly doesn't mean come anyhow. There are certain procedures we need to what? Observe to God when we are coming before God's presence. And we established that there are three levels of what? Procedures we need to what? Engage. Hallelujah. Three levels of procedures we need to what? Engage God in terms of what? Special appointment. The first one is what? The level of what? Alignment. Right? And said in alignment, the major focus is to gain the attention of God. Is that not it? Then the second one is what? The activities we do with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit does to us, to prepare us to have an encounter with God. And we look at three major activities. The first one is what? The golden candlestick what? Activity. Which talks about what? The search that the Holy Spirit conducts in us to reveal the true nature of what? Our heart. And the reason is that there are three things we need to do over there. Number one, to what? Check our spiritual health, what? Status. Number two, that we will judge ourselves, that we will not be what? Judged. Number three, for what? The purposes of what? Refreshing. So it is a time of what? Servicing. It will call retreater. Whenever you are going for a retreat, have it at the back of your mind that you are going for a whole servicing. This is not we are going to the roadside for them to fix it. You are doing an overhauling. Total overhauling. Are we on the same page? Then we move on to what? Okay, the table of the shield. Then we talk about the word of God. Where God feeds us. And the ultimate word that we should look out for is the word of faith, which will generate what? Faith in us, so that we can be able to what? Enter into his realm. Remember that. So in all our search, or in all our engagement with God at retreat, the key thing over there in regards to the word of God has to do with faith being produced in us. Because the just shall live by what? Faith. And without faith, no one can what? Please him. So it is faith that will help us to what? Enter into his face of what? Engagement with him. Hallelujah. So today we are looking at the last level of activity, and that is the altar of what? Incense. Hallelujah. So this is the final activity we observe at the holy place before we enter into the holy of what? Holies. This activity is centered on prayer only, in the form of intercession first, possessional prayers, supplication prayers, and any other prayers that you have not yet touched on and you want to handle. So the book of Psalms chapter 141 verse 2. Can we read it? Psalm 141 verse 2. So the altar of incense is all about prayer. And we're going to look at the way prayer is handled when we approach God. We have to understand it. Hallelujah. Said, let my prayers be set forth before thee as what? Incense. That's why it's the altar of what? Incense. And my lifting up of my hands as the what? Evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. So in our first reading, the book of Revelation, we found out that the angel of the Lord had the prayers of the saints with him. But before the prayer could ascend to God, there was a need for certain what? Traveling what? Agents, which was what? Incense. Do you read it? Can you read Revelation chapter? Hey, no, go back. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden what? Censer, and there was given unto him much what? Incense. Much what? Incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. So the incense was to be offered with the prayers of what? All the saints. In other words, the incense was there to what? Help in the deliverance of what? The prayers of the saints he had with him. Are you all there? Upon the golden what? Altar, which was before the what? The throne. Are we there? Good. So what is the relation between prayer and incense? That's what I'm talking about. Are you with me? So when we get to the golden altar of incense, the whole thing over there is about prayer. Now, why is it that anytime prayer is mentioned, it is mentioned along with the object what? Incense. Why? If we understand this, then we understand why we need to do certain things when we are praying. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean go and buy physical incense and be burning. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So we saw that the incense here was mixed with the prayers of what? The saint. And it was the angel who received it. Hallelujah. No, the tabernacle was a shadow of what? The reality. Do you get it? So in the tabernacle, the incense was burning physically to represent the reality we will be doing. So now when we are offering prayers, it has been revealed in this scripture here that in Revelation that the angels of the Lord pick up that prayers with some incense that is given to them and offer it unto God. And the prayer goes. So that's how prayer ascends. Hallelujah. Now, what is the relation between prayer and incense? Number one, incense stands for pleasing aroma. In the tabernacle, incense were burned as a fragrant offering. When I said this, I know your mind is going to a song that you have been hearing. Yeah, you're already singing it. Hallelujah. So the fragrance of our heart, worship. So the fragrance, there's an offering we give God, which is the offering of what? Fragrance. And this is so, it is a pleasing aroma that fills the temple of God, or fills the presence of God, and ascend to God, or fills the temple of God, which is us. Okay? A pleasing aroma that fills a temple and ascend. And the way we offer this prayer, fragrance of offering, is prayer. Thus, any act of prayer or any act that expresses prayer or represents prayer must express the character of an incense, that is, it being pleasant to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? So when we enter the place of holy and we are about to enter or engage in prayer, the first and important we have to understand that for that prayer to ascend, it must have the character of it what? Being acceptable and what? Pleasing to God. So you can see that there are certain things you cannot say when you are praying. Are you with me? So that is not where you said, Lord, draw your sword, cut off my uncle's head. For he has denied me the money which I... That kind of prayer will not have the incense to arise. Because it is not what? Pleasing to the Lord. So, anything that we will do, act as a form of prayer in this place, must have the character of incense. That is, it being pleasant to God, and as a fragrant to God, so that God cannot accept it. Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7. Follow me very well. Most times when we are praying, we don't take these things into serious account. You think that you can, as I said, you cannot go there anyhow and talk anyhow. When the Bible says we pray amid, we don't know how to pray. It is true. That is why I say that this activity is the Holy Spirit that help us. So you see the things you have gone through before you have started praying. From alignment, you have not prayed yet. I don't forget it. From all the point of alignment, all you are doing is to come to this point. The last point, the altar of incense. That's why it is the Holy Spirit that assists us in prayer. If you see men and women whose life, you see the real manifestation of God in their life, and you see an evidence of a true prayer life, it is not because they know how to talk. They know, they understand what it means when you pray. That is why the disciples said, teach us to pray. Teach us to what? To pray. If you are not taught to pray, you'll just be doing damage to yourself. That is why many people are frustrated in prayer. They are frustrated in prayer. Because prayer has a character of what? Incense. And the first thing is that it has to be what? A pleasing what? Aroma. Let's read it. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Are you following? And make them joyful in my heart. My house of what? Prayer. My house of what? Now listen. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my heart. Altar. For my house shall be called
an house of what? Prayer for all people. Now, what I want you to take note over here is the relationship between accepted sacrifice and offerings. And the place it is accepted is in the house of what? Prayer upon the what? Altar. Are you with me? Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say over here? So when you come before God, one of the important things you have to have in your mind is that at the end of the day, whatever you're offering him, it has out a fragrance of what? Offering. It smells good to him. And you what? Accept it. So anytime you enter the house of prayer, if you have indeed secured yourself in the house of prayer, this word, the house of prayer, means that this is a place where prayer is recognized. One of the key elements is that whatever offerings and sacrifice that goes over there is accepted. How do we know that it's accepted? John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Watch it. First John chapter 14. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence. Watch. When indeed you pray, are you listening to me? And the prayer is revealing the character of the aroma of what? The character of an incense, a pleasing aroma. That pleasing aroma, when indeed is being released, there is a confidence that is born in you. That we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his what? His will, he heareth us. A prayer that has the fragrance that fits into what we call the fragrance of offering is a prayer according to his will. Verse 15. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So if you know that, if you lack confidence, that is as a result of you not praying according to his, so you don't know his will. If you lack confidence, that is why you see that the word of God comes first before prayer. Because the responsibility of the word is to tell you his will. That is why what is faith? You enter his realm and understand what is done in his realm. So the responsibility of the word is that it helps you to know the will. That is why anybody who has a prayer life without a word life is just a noisemaker. There cannot be a quality prayer life outside the word of God. So we are talking about the character of prayer that is captured in an incense. Fragrance or offering, a pleasing aroma, accepted by God. That is why it is only at the altar of incense we can do that. Are you following me? I'm just trying to tell you why prayer always moves with an incense. Because incense reveals the character of what prayer God expects from us. And the first character is what? The fragrance of offering. Number two. So I still want to step here before I go to point two. That is why anytime we offer prayer, it must be offered with all purity of the heart. It is because of this character. That is why we have to go through the candlestick activities and alignment. Because of this character. That the prayer will become what? A sweet smelling what? Savor, fragrance that God will smell it. Say, I like this. This thing, I like it. Where is it coming from? I like it. So some of you, the incense you are burning, it could be that it smells so bad that, in fact, God leaves. Because the atmosphere has been hot. It's not conducive for him. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Good. So in the book of Psalm 66, verse 8, it says, when I got iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So the purity of the heart. Always make sure that your heart is in alignment with God. Your heart, the condition of your heart is okay. It's okay. When we admit what we have done, we repent and everything, then we are restored into the right condition to what? Offer. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth. So, number two. Why is prayer compared to incense? Follow me. Number two. The second is that the ability to reach God's presence. The second reason is the character of the smoke of an incense filling the air and the rising up into the sky. Have you seen an incense being burned before? You can compare it to mosquito kill, right? I think they have the same characteristics, right? You see that the smoke rises up and it goes straight. And you see, to begin to what? As it's going, it begins to, you smell like, oh, they are burning mosquito kill over here. Just one mosquito kill. So the mosquito does not need to land on the coil. Just the scent. So it goes straight, but even though as it's moving, it's what? It's affecting it. That is the nature, that is the character of prayer God looks for. This represents our prayer being able to break through all resistance affecting our atmosphere, ascend towards God, and reach God's presence. I don't know. So first of all, the prayer has to break through what? The atmosphere. Are you there? Break through all resistance. And then the prayer affects our atmosphere. Means that as we are praying, the atmosphere we are, it's affecting it. The environment is being affected. Number three, it ascends towards God and reaching God's very what? Presence. What I want to establish here to you is that this is trying to tell you that prayer has direction. You have to know how to direct prayer. In the book of Psalms chapter 5 verse 3, let's read. The second character that is why prayer is compared to an incense is because prayer has direction. Prayer has what? So the question is, who are you directing your prayer to? Some of you, you think the prayer is not going to God. And I already talked about this. The two ways by which we direct prayer. Haven't we? Let's read. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I do what? Direct my prayer unto what? Thee. So the second character of prayer is that it has direction. And it has where it is going to. There is a receiving end. So if you are sending prayer to God, then there are certain things that has to what? Affect it. And know that is what we pray in the name of what? Jesus. Through his finished work. Hallelujah. Number three. The third character of incense that is captured in prayer, or prayer that is revealed in incense, is that in the tabernacle of worship, incense were much more than fragrance. It represented a continual communication with God in all reverence and purity. So anytime the incense was being lit in the tabernacle, what it stands for is that there is a constant communication between heaven and earth. And what represents that is prayer. That's why anytime you see prayer, there is what? Incense close to it. Because incense reveals the character of prayer. And that's how God sees it. So something that God calls prayer must reveal this character. Something that serves as a continuous what? Communication with God. So the Bible said in the book of, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm right. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. It is prayer that reveals that aspect of the communion. So the true character of prayer is that it's able to serve out as a daily out communication. It establishes communication between heaven and earth and act. That is why anytime you see prayer, it's incense. It's incense that shows that. So if you check the tabernacle, yes. God instructed the priest that they should continually burn the incense every evening so that it will serve as what? An establishment of communication between earth and the heavens. So this altar that we have come to, these are the three things. There's a flow of information. And it has direction. So when you come to this place, you have to understand, number one, there should be a flow. That is why you have to deal with anything that can interrupt the flow. Now, do you understand why we are doing all these things to this point? Because whatever we are come to do at this place, there should not be any interruption. So in the place of alignment, we know we've secured God's attention. In the place of God's take activity, we know that our condition of our heart, mean that our health status and everything has been sorted out. We have come to receive what is called faith through his word and all other things that the word has to minister to us. So now there is no interruption. There's a flow. Nothing interrupts it. There is a flow. And now we can also offer fragrance because there's purity of heart doing this. And it will be accepted. And now we can direct it because faith has been generated and we can direct the prayer to God. And when there are circumstances to deal with, we can direct the prayer. So this is what we are talking about when it comes to the altar of what? Incense activity. And what prayer, when we say we are praying, or what we are trying to describe to you, how God sees it is what I've mentioned to you. Are you on the same page? Good. So having described the nature of what we are doing over here in terms of prayer, are we on the same page? We said, yeah, it's prayer. I'm describing the state or what God is looking for, the quality of that thing we are doing there. Having described it to you, how then do we minister it? So in order to achieve these characters of incense, which is captured in prayer, or prayer, the characters of prayer that is captured in incense, one of the things we have to know is how to prioritize the kind of prayer, how to what? Know the kinds of prayers we have to pray in the order of what? Priority. For it to be pleasing to God, you can't put the last at first and the first at last. Do you remember what I said? It is what? Pleasing to God. So God, what pleases God is that things that are done in order. So one of the things we have to look out for when we come to the altar of incense is the order in the kinds of prayer we pray. Am I on the same page with you? So what is the order of prayer God looks up to whenever we come to him in prayer? What is the order? What is the first thing? What must be the first thing? So after we have gone through all the journey, we have come to the altar of incense. What is the first kind of prayer God is looking forward to that you pray? Because when you miss it, it will not be pleasing anymore. Are we on the same page? Good. So priority. The first kind of prayer, and I want to take note, the first kind of prayer that we need to offer when we get to this place is the prayer of intercession. No, do not replace it with anything. After you have gone through all the journey of alignment, worship, repentance, justification, the holy, asking yourself questions, sorting yourself out, feeding on the word, when you are done and you now want to zoom into the altar of incense, the first prayer you have to pray is prayer of intercession. I'll give you 5 reasons why. You see, the reason why our prayer life is not producing results is because we think that our needs must come first. That's not the order of priority. I'm going to show it to you. Also, have you noticed that when we start growing in the Lord and we started shifting attention from our personal needs and start praying for people and taking care of people's needs in prayer, things that we don't pray for happens to us. How many of us have noticed that? How many of us have noticed that your prayer life has really changed when you start praying for people? It seems now God can speak. Like, you can hear God more. Am I the only person? But the day you decide to go and pray for your own thing, sometimes you come back confused. But you try to pray for somebody's prayer request, you take it up and pray. Then you know that God can talk. Do you know why? It's because in the order of prayer, when we come to the altar of incense, and we said, now God, we are engaging the altar of incense to produce that fragrance, that word pleasing, that is able to be directed to you, that is able to build God. What God is looking for is all the order of priority. The first one is intercession. That is why Paul, in his teaching, said, I exhort you. Listen, he said, I do what? Exhort. Do you understand that word exhort? Exhortation. Exhortation over there is to urge you, advise you. Listen, he said, I first of all want to advise you that first of all, before you do anything, what should be done? Prayers, intercession. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. You see, Paul was advising us. Listen to what he said. First of all, I exhort therefore, I advise, I am urging you. In fact, I'm telling you that consider this as a priority. That first of all, first thing, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This whole thing as mentioned over there, if you put it together, it means intercession. Because as long as it is not about your interest, it becomes what? Intercession. Anytime you go to pray, and the prayer is not about your interest, that kind of prayer is has the character of intercession. So, why intercession first? Number one. Intercession is one of the prayers God considers as labor. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Intercession. Work. That you are working for God. One of the way God see you working for him is intercession. Let's read. Colossians chapter 4. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you. Always what? No, help me. Church, what did this over there? Always praying what? Is that what? Laboring what? Fervently for you in what? In prayers. So what Epaphras was doing, God didn't see it as any, he sees as what? Labor. Labor what? Fervently for you in what? Prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So before the sight of God, anytime you stand to what? If you want to work for God, you see, that is something that if you want payday, the payday, if you want to gain some wages from God, you can decide to find a work, right? If I work for you, pay, right? One of the work is this. Intercede. Pray for people. It's a labor. Then, what happens when we labor? This is why you find out that prayer can be rewarded. Matthew chapter 6 verse 6. That prayer concept that was mentioned in Matthew chapter 6 verse 6. Let's look at what kind of prayer he's talking about. It's the prayer that has the reflection of what? Labor. So it's not all prayer we pray that is labor. The fact that you sweat and you have lost your voice and you have gotten a sore throat and your towel is wet doesn't mean you have labored in prayer. You labor in prayer when it becomes intercession. Not, see, let us not deceive ourselves. You see people with huge towels, towel that can wrap me, and there will not be space left. And it will be around their neck. Ah, oh, and they'll sweat. After that, they'll get sore throat. When you ask yourself, oh, I went to labor in prayer. Please. If that prayer you went to pray was not for other people, or it's not, does not have the character of intercession, it is not a labor. Those prayers, God may answer. But when it is intercession, God rewards. Let's read. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Which is a character of intercessors. You don't see them. Do you know that intercessors are people who are always hidden? In fact, a true intercessor, it'll be very difficult for you to know him. How have you heard of Father Nash? I've mentioned the story over here. Finney has to mention for people to know that Father Nash was behind his ministry. Father Nash will go ahead of him, pray for a month, and nobody knew. He was behind the scene. But the man was laboring. It was Finney who came to expose him that every result you have been seeing over here is because this man has been behind the scene. Closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, privacy, pray to thy Father which is in what? In secret. And thy Father which is seeth in secret shall do what? Reward thee. He said shall what? Answer. So there are prayers that God answers. There are prayers that God what? Reward. When it is an intercession, it's a reward. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think the verse 58, I'm right. It said, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. I don't want to paraphrase. It said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of what? The Lord. Abounding which work? And today I've taught you one work. So if you don't know the work of God, today I've taught you one. Which is what? Intercession. Now what did he say? He said, for as much as you know, he said, you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray for you. Any of you have taken it up upon you to pray for this church? Watch us. You have been gathering every Monday praying for us. Any of you have been praying for people, praying for the pastors? Scriptures can never be broken. And God is not unjust. Therefore, as Daddy has declared on Friday that it is a payday, I declare that all your labor in intercession, in prayer, I declare that let the reward come fast in the name of Jesus. Let God reward you of your labor. All the prayers you have prayed for me, you have prayed for the church here, you are praying for people, I said God will reward you. Your reward will never and ever be in vain. Your labor will never be in vain. The Lord that seeth in secret shall reward you. So when we ask you to pray for people, is it when your prayer life is only about you? What happens is that all that you have is that God answers your prayer. But the moment it goes beyond you for other people, God begins to reward you. So which of them do you want? Reward or answers? I want both, but I prefer reward. Because when God wants to reward you, can I give a typical example of an intercessor? Look at Daniel. The first time he intercepted a pending attack on people who were the wise men of Babylon, that their lives were slaughtered. Do you know the reward? Go and read. When he interpreted the dream unto Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible said he fell flat. And he told them that they should what? Change his cloak. And immediately was what? Promoted. Immediately was what? One intercession took him from nowhere to the biggest man. You keep praying for yourself, God will answer. But when you begin to pray for people, where God can take you. So the reason why God is interested, or the altar of incense, the reason why intercession is the first thing you should consider, is because we want to start with reward what? First, before we come to what? Answers. Why? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So let's take the rewards after we are done, payday, then we can now tell God what he wants him to do for us. Some of you don't understand what I'm trying to say, but I wanted to explain it in a particular. How many of you have tried network marketing before? Have you tried? Martin has smiled. In network marketing, when you invite people, okay, and you build your base, what you gain from that is not comparable to you signing up. What comes to you? So if I sign up, there's a volume I acquire. Those of us who have been very inquisitive with life and try, see, we have been in this journey for long. We've done Max International. I don't know if you've heard of Max International before. Oh, Forex trading, a lot of things. We personally even built a system like that. The volume you get is as a reward of helping other people understand the system. Are you following me? And that alone is what qualifies you to next level. So if you sign a loan in the system, you get very little. But the moment you begin to bring others into it, put others' interest, and help them to also reach the level you are reaching, you keep moving. What it means is that when you begin to pray for people, they will never catch up to you. Because when the reward comes, the reward is that God takes you higher. So when you go to the altar of incense, put aside your problems. Take people's problems with you. Pray for them. When God starts dealing with them, by the time God will be done with them, you are ahead of them. That's why here, men of God says that I don't pray for myself. I don't realize I pray for myself. But God begins to provide. Do you know why? It's reward. So don't only be a Christian who prays for answers. Pray for what? Reward. One of the prayer God sees as labor is intercession. Number two, God mostly tie our prosperity and breakthroughs to when we decide to seek the best of God for others and the places we find ourselves. One of the wisdom of God to get people to do things for him is that what is going to lead to your lifting and your breakthrough, he will tie it to the interest of others and the places you find yourself. So when God wants you to become this, he will tie you to that place. And the moment you begin to take the interest of that place into account and begin to pray, you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to prove it to you in scripture. God himself instructed him. The book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 7. Listen to what God said. That's why if you don't intercede, can we all read together? And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away as captives. Listen to what he said. He said, I have caused you to be carried away as what? Captives. Do you understand captives? Slaves. So a place that has come to deny you your liberty, and you have been taken there to be living as slaves. So a slave is somebody who has no right, who has no privilege. The Bible said, God was saying that I have let them carry you there, that you will seek the peace of that place. Why will you seek the peace? And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, let's also say, in what? In the peace thereof, shall ye have what? Peace. So let me ask you to pray for Ghana. A thing that doesn't concern you. Now, has it concerned you? Is it concerning you, Ghana? Very soon, you'll be importing water. You don't pray. You think that this thing is just a mere. See, don't think that things are spiritual. I'm not saying that we should spiritualize everything, but things are spiritual first. We are spiritual beings, so we have to understand that all these things coming up. Galamse issue, these things are having spiritual backings. Before we deal with the physical, we have to be like Esther. We attack the issue spiritual before we come to attack it physical. Do you see Esther's strategy? She went on a 3 days fast and prayers. The entire nation joined him in that fasting and prayers. And when he was done, they approached the king to deal with the matter. Many Christians are good at talking, but they don't are good at attacking the spiritual. He said, why I've sent you captive if you want to live there peacefully. So God said, now, the place you are going, your peace is in your own hands. You choose whether you want to live there at peace or you live there at what? War. It's your choice. So God left their peace into their own hands in what way? By praying for the place they were going to. You go to an office, you don't care about the place. You don't even close your eyes one day to pray for the place you're working. And you want to be promoted. You want them to increase your salary. How will it happen? You are working at a place and everybody's... You don't pray for your workers. You don't pray for your colleagues. You don't pray for your bosses. You don't seek their peace. That is what Paul was teaching Timothy to teach the church. The first thing first. He said, make prayers for all... Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Let's look at what he said. Whatever will cause your breakthrough and will lift you, it is intercession. Now, First Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Your godliness is under threat when people do not give you peace. If they are all decided to steal their money, do you think you'll be at peace? Do you know how they'll come after you? Because they know that you'll be in their way. Oh, haven't you heard of witch hunting at the workplace? Because you decided to stand for the truth. But imagine they all believe in what you believe. Because you interceded for them. You pray for their salvation. You pray that they'll encounter God. And they come to buy into the wisdom of God. Do you think that you need to tell them that this is wrong? You see that you refuse to pray for that boss, he's chasing you. And that the only way your promotion will come is that you have to open your legs. Are we on the same page? You see why that man is sitting on your promotion? Because wickedness is ruling. Godliness can never be seen when you don't pray for those, especially in authority. So this is how God has done it. For whatever that will lift you, if you don't pray for it, you're not good. That is why when you go for... When you come to the altar of incense, you must put aside what is doing you. Deal with the things that can affect what is doing you. And one of it is intercession, the people. And I made this statement that you are not safe, or the fact that you are saved doesn't mean you are what? Safe. S-A-V-E-D means you are saved, does not guarantee that you are S-A-F-E. You are only S-A-F-E when the environment you are is S-A-V-E-D. You understand it now? You are only safe if the environment you find yourself is saved. So if you are born again and there are armed robbers, all kinds of life around you, you think you are safe? You're not safe. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Now, the verse 3 tells you why it is this kind of prayers attract God. Verse 3 said, "For this is good and what? Acceptable in the sight of what? God, our God." Now, do you understand why I said that the incense, the character of incense, prayer, acceptable, is intercession. So if you want God to give attention to your what you are coming to, the altar, the incense you are burning over there, which is prayer. So David said, "Let my prayer, God, be as an incense that rises up to you." If you become an incense, it must begin with what? Intercession. God will accept it. So even though I went there to pray for healing, I will pray for the healing of all other people. I will carry the healing request of them. And I will intercede and cry unto God that the Lord will touch you. But when I'm there, I say, "Lord, remember me too. Not only will I be healed, but God will reward me for praying for the healing of others." So after being healed, I'll receive pay. Number 3, which is the truth that many of us don't know whenever we are going to pray or we are on retreat. This is it. God already knows why you are coming over. Yes, God already knows why you came over. And he only needed you to turn aside so he can attend to the reason for coming. The conditions necessary for retreat, it is God who provoked it. Do you understand? So God already knows. He knows everything about you. So whilst you are coming for the retreat, God knows why you are coming. True of us. So he only needed you to turn aside, then he can attend to you. Therefore, it is not your plenty talking, but your obedience is what God needed to attend to the condition that brought you before him. It is not the plenty talking you are coming to do. Do you remember the story of the man who was at the pool, said Jesus met him? Said, "How long have you here?" "He's not coming to talk plenty." He said, "Yeah, take your mat and go home." You see, it's not your talking that is going to, because God already knows why you are there. Is that not it? But God needed your attention so that he cannot. So it is your obedience that is going to cause God to attend to the conditions of your special appointment with him. So why this plenty talking about yourself? Yes, it is you. You have an issue. You already know. That's why he said, "Come, let me deal with you." Whether it's a retreat of inquiry, retreat of revival, retreat of edification, God knows why you are there. That's why in part of your protocols of what? Retreat, you pray into the what? Retreat, prepare. True of us. So whilst you are praying, you are already listing the reasons why you are there. "I'm coming because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H." So if God already knows, then what does he look for at the altar of incense? One of the things that takes interest of him is that he will prefer to share his burden with you so you can become a means for him to get it done, which is normally through intercession. In the book of Amos chapter 3 verse 7, watch this. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. I love this scripture. It's intercession that will give you this. Said, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto you, his servant the prophet." You see, God does not have people who he can share secret with. That is his burden. So when there's a condition for retreat and you come there, God wants to take advantage of it. So you, when you are coming, God wants you to attend to him first. Elijah said to the widow, "First of all, prepare for me bread. Then after that, I'll what? Attend to you." If we want God to attend to us with our whatever reasons why we are going to meet him in prayer, we have to first of all be willing to attend to him. That is why he wants to share his burden with us. The Lord God can do nothing unless he reveals it. How many things has God revealed to you that you have been able to align with him to get it done? even in our normal daily waitings. It is always our needs. Honestly speaking, I don't remember the last time I have needs, so, but it's becoming very difficult for me to even mention them in prayers. Not because I'm not, but I have too much to pray for. Too much. Praying for the church. NI. I have almost like 24 tertiary institutions. Praying for them. Praying for you. Glory Incorporated. Praying. I'm a crusade director. Pray. By the time I'm done praying those prayers, my time is finished. But when I'm done, payday. Payday, oh, payday. I said, God, I'm done with work. Fast. I pray for you. He said, oh, we don't tell you these things, eh? You think prayer is about going there screaming right there? No, some of you think prayer is about complaining. You go and complain. And God, you didn't see this person. And I didn't see what this person has done. So can't you see what is happening? He knows. There are many things that he said you will do. Yeah? You don't even need to say them. He's going to do them. He knows what is in your heart. So there's too much talking. It's not changing anything. He said, don't become like the who talk too much. Make your prayer short. Have you read that part in the book of Matthew? Said, don't talk too much in prayer. Have you read it? That prayer he was talking about is supplication. What your need. Don't talk too much. I know. Don't talk too much. If you want to talk, let's talk about what I want to do. So when you go to pray, plenty of your talking. You 3 hours you are going to pray. You have used 2 hours. You don't even thank God. You have used 2 hours, 30 minutes to complain and talk about your issues. Then you use 30 minutes to thank him. God said, look at this one. Your prayer is smelling. I don't like this kind of prayer. So in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 downwards, you found out that God approached a man called Abraham. He said, shall I have this thing from my heart, my friend Abraham? Do you know Abraham was an intercessor? When they took Lot, he went to fight for him. When God wanted to, God knew very well that if I tell Abraham, he will try to do something about it. In fact, God needed a witness and a permission that will give him right to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you ever read the Bible said that I sought for a man to stand in the gap? Ezekiel chapter 3. That I may not destroy, but I found none, right? Good. God needed the legal ground to attack Sodom and Gomorrah. And that legal ground is that there's an intercessor. Have you also read in the book of, I think, Numbers, when God told Moses to let him alone, that he would destroy the people of Israel. When his anger was kindled against them. He said, let me alone, that I will destroy them. Moses said, repent. Anytime God has a burden, he looks for people to share it with. And those are people who understand the place of intercession. So whenever God is calling you to prayer, you have to. Don't go there and be complaining and talking too much. Talk. That is a prayer God doesn't like. It is not pleasing. It doesn't have the fragrance. So God wants to share his burden with you. Then you become a conduit for you to establish. So Moses was able to change God's mindset. Actually, that was not God's original mindset for the people of Israel. His original mindset is to carry all of them to the altar. But they changed their course of action, and God needed somebody to help him to correct it. And after Moses stopped God, he came to take vengeance for God. What did he do? He said, those who are on the Lord's side, join me. All those who are worshiping the false idol, he did it for God. Can God count on you to carry his burden and do it for him so that he will not do it himself? So Archbishop Benson also told the grand witch, God is busy with other things. I am here to stop you. Have you heard of that story? He said, there's nobody who will stop them in Nigeria. I said, oh, don't worry. Even God cannot stop. He said, yes, of course, God is busy. I'm here. Can God count on you that I can leave this territory and then I'll go? As long as this gentleman is here, he'll be catered for. God will ask for grace. See, that is why when you intercede more, you see, you pray more. You see, one of the things that is a challenging thing of the prophetic office is your heart to intercede for people. You have to ask God to help you and help us. Because this is how we approach the altar of incense. Number 4. Our conditions normally provide a means for God's agenda and glory to be revealed. It is intercession we see God's kingdom to come and his will be done. So an example is the Daniel case that I read. So sometimes the condition that we find ourselves is a means that God will call us to what? Reveal His glory. Can you know? Can you imagine that a woman like Hannah was barren and her condition became what God used to what? So do you know Hannah prayed the prayer of an intercession? The Bible said those days the word of God was precious. The moment the word of God is precious means that there's no a prophet. The moment the word of God becomes precious, because it is the prophet who brings the counsel of God. That word, the word of God means the counsel of God was precious. Doesn't mean that there was no written word. Because there were priests. Eli was a priest. There were priests over there. But the Bible said the word of God also means that the counsel of God was very precious. But here was a woman who said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Do you know that was a condition? God wanted to glorify himself by giving the people of Israel prophet. But somebody's condition. So our father in the Lord, that he just said that anytime God wants to do something, he looks for a barren womb and works it through it. So sometimes your barrenness is an advantage to carry God's agenda. But because you have not come to understand it, you go and be praying. Erade, on your mock canoe. But Hannah understood that God is looking for a prophet. The interest of the nation became her interest. That the word of God will not be precious anymore in Israel. And that we can have a man who can stand in and receive the counsel of God for us. And therefore, God, I am potent enough to receive this dimension of you. So give me a son and I'll give him back to you. The Bible said, God answered that prayer. And then he brought him. And that is how Samuel came up. And by the age of 7-8, Samuel already... See, God was so much in hurry that God couldn't even wait for Samuel to turn up to age. At 7-8, he started receiving national prophecy. And the Bible said in the whole life of Samuel as a prophet, the Philistines couldn't attack Israel. Why? One woman was able to buy into the heart of God. Her condition was able to prepare. So she went to Shiloh to pray for a child. But the prayer was no more about her condition, but what was on God's heart, that His glory will be revealed. I pray for you. See, sometimes when you go, this is all intercessional, aligning with God. Find out the condition you are in. How can you connect it to God's glory? Find out how can God be, the agenda of God can be for can be met in your condition. It might be work you are looking for, but God is also looking for somebody who can represent His interest at the Parliament House. Hallelujah. The last one, the Proverb 11:25 rule. Give me Proverbs chapter 11 verse 25. Is the last reason why God takes intercession serious, and why is intercession should be the first priority you have to put on the agenda of prayer. Proverbs 11:25. Let's read together. The liberal soul shall be what? Made what? The part is this here. And he that watered shall be what? Watered also what? Himself. When you pray for other people, others will pray for you. Don't expect me to pray for you if you're not praying for me. this God, that's how it goes. We need people to pray for us. Paul said, pray for us also, but he said, we pray for you. Check the epistles of Paul. He always said that we have been praying for you. We have been what? Praying for you. But when he's about to, he said, pray for us also. The Proverb 11:25 rule is a reason why when you go, that's the first thing you should do, intercede for people. Because when you're not praying for somebody, somebody will also not pray for you. Dangerous is it for you when people don't pray for you? You don't have people praying for you. You are finished. You are finished. You must have people who are praying for you. Because it takes one man to lead war, but it takes many to win war. It takes a man to lead war. One person who leads war, but that one person cannot win. It takes what? Numbers. So one shall put to flight what? 1,000. But two shall put to flight what? Tens of thousands. So the situation that you are going through, if somebody also come to join you. So the Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 4, when the apostles were threatened not to what? Preach, they came into their own company and with one heart they ought. Sometimes you can be going through something and God will reveal it to somebody in prayer. Get up and pray for this person. As at that time you are also praying about it, God can wake somebody up. But the question is, why would God wake up somebody when you have never even responded to that wake up? So the matter needed four hands to deal with the situation. But because you don't build that, you have not labored, you have not sowed that seed that can be returned back to you. Because you have not give, it cannot be given back to you. I pray for you that you make intercession your life. See, if today you can come to two people, say, do you have a prayer request? Give it to me. May I have some? I have some. So if you want prayer, I'll give it to you. I have some. You remember that there was a time I was taking prayer requests from here and I asked you to send them to me? Yes. Go and check most of you, the prayer requests you wrote. Go and check it. I've received my reward though, because I've prayed through them for you. And God has been paying me. That's my job now. That's my job. So if I'll not do anything, at least then I woke up. I know I'll pray for some people. When I'm done, I know as long as I've done this work, God will pay me. Hallelujah. So now, having spoken about intercession, oh wow, time. We are pressed for time. I'll quickly run through this. How is the order of intercession? When we want to intercede, what should be the order of intercession? Number one, we pray for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be established. That should be the first thing you intercede for. So when you go into your place of intercession, is to pray. So this is where you carry the kingdom of God and the will of God into action. And one day I'm going to talk about give thyself to prayer. Where Peter said to them that it is not good for us to serve them, but we shall give ourselves. This is where, when you give yourself to prayer, this is what you are trying to do. You are praying the kingdom of God and the will of God into reality. That's the first intercession. Number two, pray for leaders and nations. If you have not been praying for Nando, you are responsible for whatever outcome you're having in this country. Don't put it on him. We are all accountable, especially we Christians. Or prophet, am I lying? Yes. You don't like what is going on, but have you been praying for him? You think it is easy over there? So shut up and enjoy what you have shown. Next time, when a new government comes into power or a new president comes, you will learn to pray for the president, whether you like that president or not. Now look how you are frustrated. You were investing to see how your life is frustrated in the house. Why you refuse to pray for leaders? If you don't pray for me, you don't pray for Daddy Joe, don't pray for your pastors, whatever outcome you get, keep quiet and take it. Number three, you pray for the body of Christ. So in praying for the body of Christ, you pray in this manner. Number one, when we talk of the body of Christ, you're talking about the whole believers of the... So how do we pray for the body of Christ? Number one, you can pray for people you follow. I know you Daddy Joe is your spiritual father, but I know you follow some people. Me, I can mention names that people I follow, I listen to. Archbishop Duncan Williams is one of them. I love that man very well. I love Apostle Arumi. I love Pastor Nat. How many of you follow the Hallelujah Challenge? Do you know that man didn't monetize his YouTube account? Hey! May God cure us of greediness. And I said, Lord, I've not gotten there yet. Help me. Ish. Said, because he doesn't want money to set into his heart, he refused to monetize his YouTube. Do you know how many views he gets? Millions of views. Do you know how much that can fetch him? Over $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. I love him a lot. Till follow Sunday. Ah, I love him. The people you follow on social media, pray for them. The men of God, pray for them. If you don't like them, you don't follow them. Pray for them. That's how we pray for the body of Christ. Number two, pray for people whose ministry has blessed you. Whose ministry has blessed you? Some of them may not be alive, but we pray for their ministry. I can't stop praying for Rema Ministries. Kenneth Hagen. Oh, come on. Archbishop Duncan Williams, I cannot stop thanking him. He has blessed my life. Bishop Doug, yay! Loyalty and Disloyalty series. Oh, goodness God. So I'll pray for him. That's why we pray for him. You pray for him because his ministry has what? None of us here will say that Bishop Doug's ministry has not blessed us. We are all affected directly or indirectly by his ministries. There are a lot of them. Church of Pentecost. There are some pastors in Church of Pentecost. I can't stop praying for them. They have affected my life. Are we there?
Yes.
Number three, are we there? Praying for the body of Christ. Number three, pray for people whose teaching you listen to. I know it's not only that the Joe you listen to. We listen to other. You don't listen to me alone. The other people, pray for them. I know you are full of sermon. Alpha hour, you are there. Pray for. Did you pray for him this week? It was his birthday. Did you pray for him? You have to pray for him because you listen to his teachings, don't you? Oh, why are you acting like you don't do it? Don't you? Pray for him. That's how we pray for the body of Christ. Then we pray for people who are not in our local church but have given us prayer requests. Have you ever received that before? Somebody does not belong to your local church, but a friend or anybody who's a Christian, and then they come with a prayer request. Some people even put it online. You pick those kind of prayer requests, you pray for them. And any other prayers God will put on your heart for the body of Christ. Are we there? God can ask you to intercede for Brazil, intercede for England. Those are nations, but the church over there, God can direct you. You can pick it up in prayer. Hallelujah. The next one, so we pray for the body of Christ. So I'm talking of the order of intercession. The next one is praying for the local church you fellowship in. Now, how do we pray for the local church you fellowship in? Number one, you pray for your pastor and church leaders. Pray for us. One of the prayer Paul requested that said that there will not be restriction of what? The word of God. So you have to pray that God will bless the pastors financially and every means by which we can carry the word of God. You have to pray for us. There are many things, many things. We want to go to towns and cities. That if I tell the heart desire of our Father, he loves to win souls, crusade. But do you have the means? You have to pray that there will not be restrictions. Yeah. So that very soon we can buy him his private jet. You see, you're not a believer. Oh, I see Prophet Jericho buying one for daddy. So you pray for members of the church, especially those who have brought prayer requests to you. Pray for one another. Pray for what? So we pray that God will keep us planted. You see, sometimes you don't need to call people. Follow up is good, but pray for them. How many of you has Daddy Joe called? Anytime I see Daddy Joe's call, I mean there's an issue. That's how Daddy Joe's call I interpret it. He knows. Daddy has never called and said, bless how are you? I'm checking up on you. It has never happened. When Daddy Joe calls me, Prophet Jericho, I don't know if I'm the only person, but that man prays for almost all of us. He's a person who attends retreat almost every month because he has a lot of lists to deal with. When you call him, he'll tell you that I had a dream about you. That you had a dream. That is he. So you think that, oh, as for your pastor that doesn't call us. No. What you need most from me is that I pray for you. I do what? What you need most from your brother is what? Calling is good, but the prayer is the number one thing. Pray for them. Orders. The next thing of the next order of intercession. See how we started? You pray for the kingdom of God and the will of God to establish. You pray for leaders and nations. You pray for the body of Christ. Now you pray for your local church. The next one is that you pray for your family members and friends, especially with matters concerning their salvation and what? Destiny. Pray for your friends. Matters concerning their salvation and destiny. You do that. It's very important. Because of time factor, I just want to move on. So, after you are done with intercession, we are still at what? The altar of what? Incense. Now you are done with intercession. So after you have spent some quality time and long time to pray, now you can come and take other prayers. And the next prayer is what? Supplication. So supplication, it can be what? Supplication for others. So the request one way or other can also be what? A supplication. So when some of the prayers demand some legal interventions, it becomes what? Intercession. When it demands some request, and it becomes supplication. So supplication for all saints. Are we all there? So now you bring your supplication. So God, the reason why I came, now I'm coming to tell you. By the time you're done with intercession, you have prayed like 3 hours. More than 3 hours. You find out that when you get there, you have nothing to say again. What you want to say is just straightforward. Lord, I came because of A, B, C, D, and F. Thank you that you have done it. Amen. So that's why you understand Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through what? Thanksgiving. Father, thank you that this man, by the time you are done praying for other people, go and ask Job. By the time Job was done praying for his brothers, his captivity was what? Tend. So this is how we attend to the altar of incense. I've taken my time to explain the intercession because it is the number one thing that is acceptable and pleasing. That gives the, see, that is what gave the aroma to the prayer. That is the where the aroma, the fragrance come from. So to carry the rest with you. Hallelujah. Now, whilst we are down, the last part, down to, today I'm not leaving any stone unturned. I'll close, don't worry. Engaging the atmosphere, that is the final level. So after we are done praying and we have done all this thing, now we are come to engage the atmosphere. How do we do it? When we are climaxing our encounter with God, our special appointment with God, at what we do is that at this point, we cease from doing everything. And we give full attention to God to listen to Him. So when you are playing background music, you stop it. When you are done with everything, now you have to be quiet. And this is where the scripture, Psalm 46 verse 10, our last reading comes in. Be still. And then you what? Know. When you are not still, you will never know. You will never know His God. You will never see His manifestations. In that still, see, whatever God wants to manifest Himself to you, He wants you to learn to be what? Still. When you are still, then you begin to know that He is what? God. Be still, learn. Oh. That means that be still. So you have to stop everything. And that is the moment He reveals His God-like to you. He will begin to speak. So that, see, the message that comes to you here are mostly His statutes, which is specific instructions and directions. So you see that in the when we're doing the Bible studies, He was giving you revelations, principles of His kingdom. Do you understand? At this point, when God begins to talk to you, it's not about, He's not going to tell you what is for you specifically. So this is where God comes out. Although the Holy Spirit has, you see, the Holy Spirit has already worked on you, refreshing, working your system now, instructions, your lifting, your secrets, your rising, everything will now be coming out from this place. That's why God will tell you that, go to this office. Do this. This will happen. That's what, see, it's not everybody that can. That's what God tell you that, go and pray for the next 2 hours. This will happen. It's not everybody. It's not everybody. Hallelujah. So this is where the still small voice, the spontaneous inner speaking of God, that comes from one direction. That begins to minister to your heart. So you see that there will be these spontaneous ideas, things that will be just bubbling in your heart, in your mind. Begin to write. That is God speaking. God speaks through your inner. As many that have received it today, given the power to become the sons of God. It is the inner conviction, the inner speaking. See, the inner knowing. That is where God will talk to you. So you know, yeah, meba, loud. No, you're not going to hear it. You see that? Because when you have gone through all this atmosphere, there is no way the devil will whisper to you. It's God. And when He begins to speak, you say it will align to scriptures. It will not break His word. God will begin to instruct you. So, you see, if you don't know these things, you miss it. So in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 11 to 13. 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. Are you following? And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The spectacular, God was not there. And after the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Another spectacular, God was not there. Move on. And after the earthquake, a fire. If you have gone on retreat and you see this manifestation, won't you say that God is the one in it? Oh, am I not talking to you? Ah! God has revealed Himself. Radia Kasa. Ehuja. I've seen fire. I said the Lord was not, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, where was God? A still small voice. Anytime you go to God, pay attention to the still small voice. That inner speaking, inner conviction. That's not a yeah, it is God. Because you have not trained your spiritual system, so you think it's a yeah, who told you? See, you see how spirit can arrest a man's senses and speak through them. The Holy Ghost has that capacity to arrest your senses and speak to you. When we stand here to minister to you prophetically, it is the same senses that God uses. As I'm here preaching, you think it is my word? No. Yes, I've prepared, but I've been arrested by the Holy Spirit to speak his mind. So that's still small voice. I am saying, man, God will not use anything beyond your senses. That's why we have the informative system. We develop your spiritual organs, your ability to see, your ability to hear. That's why God will do all those check, health check. Because if your informative system, there's issue with it. If God is speaking here, you don't even know it's God. So you see why we did all these protocols things, so that when you get there, when God is talking, your informative system is correct. It will pick the information. Sometimes you can finish the retreat. Do you know that the last part, the stillness, sometimes you don't even get to the retreat ground. God will not mind you. When you get home and you have eaten and you are full of your stomach and you go to sleep, then you see, there's still small voice begin to talk to you. that is how sometimes it is about God, though. Also, you have prayed, you have done everything, you have worshipped, you have waited, you didn't hear anything. You are so clear. Don't worry. When you are done, pack your things and go home. You will sleep. Or when you get to the house, that's you see that then, God begin to speak to you. Sometimes when you're in the washroom, I don't know why God likes doing that place. I don't know, he likes to talk to us in our nakedness. There's nothing covering you. You are there before him. You are naked. All things are naked before the Lord. So you are there like that. You see that? Some of the revelations sometimes I get, and that's the place I get it. You woke up and say, whoa, I thought I was the only one. Daddy Joe said he had a pen and a book in his washroom, because sometimes when he goes there, he catches some revelations that he writes it quick. Now I understood. So that is it. Hallelujah. Quick one. Likely side effect of special appointment. Dealing with likely side effect. Now, when we go for this kind of special appointment, there are certain things we have to be very careful of. We have to take note of them quickly. Have you been blessed today? So we are wrapping up. This is the end of special appointment with God. Hallelujah. I hope you have been so blessed. I have been very blessed by this journey. Number one, the hunger for spectacular instead of the supernatural during special appointments can disappoint you. You can miss God's direction. You see what we just read, the scripture we just read. Did you read it to me? The fire, the earthquake, the wind. Spectacular. See, look forward for the supernatural, not the spectacular. Always be interested in the odds. The supernatural. The supernatural is not always spectacular. There's still small voice. Yes, God can speak to you in audible voice, but it is very real. But the supernatural will not speak. The inner conviction will come from you. So it's one of the side effects of what special appointment. When we go there, we go with a certain mindset. Said today we have to see the 11 elders, or there are 12. Which are, what is their number? 12, right? 24. Thank you. Today we have to see them and their names and their crown, or else we are not living here. You will see things. The devil will come and show you them. The fake. You see the fake ones. This is why many people go on a special appointment with God and come out with weird encounters, because their mind is that until there's a spectacular, there's no supernatural. It's a lie. Supernatural is not only spectacular. I love Bishop Doug a lot. Have you ever heard him saying that he has never had any spectacular encounter before? Well, this is how his ministry has been. Can you tell me that it's not a supernatural? I don't know where we learn this thing from. Like, until there's a spectacular, there's no supernatural. It's the devil who always wants to show off. God does not like showing off. It's the devil who always wants to show forth. He's insecure, wants to show that he also did. So you always want to demonstrate. God does not do that. God do those things when there is a need for them. Hallelujah. So it was very powerful. I see, it tells you how Elijah has grown in dealing with God, that he was able to pick up to know that God was not in the wind, not in the fire, and not in the earthquake. The second thing is complacency. When we are done, the feeling of having accomplished and achieved task, hence you take some times, or you take some days off after retreat with your personal appointment to God, waitings. Call retreat back. Just say, I could bump by 12 hours. You've prayed 12 hours. You have prayed for long. So now you need some days off. That is where you become David. Our second reading. Give me that scripture. Let me use it to wrap up. Second Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass after there was the year was expired. At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jot, Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed. You see, when you are to be at a particular place to do something, and you give yourself a break, you see, the devil finds work for the earth. I do. Because it was the time where kings were supposed to be in battle. But David has accomplished to the extent that he has now captured Jerusalem, the place that nobody dares to capture. He has captured it now. So the man is now taking break from what? You, David, you knew that God trained you for battle. Right from the desert, when you were taking care of sheep, it was warfare. You were tearing up bears and not other wild animals. So your life was called to war. But this young man said, I've had the spectacular with God. I've achieved. So now I'm taking a break. So when it was him to go for a battle, he didn't go. He sent his boys. Oh, Charlie, I've trained people. Go and kill it. That is when you come for church. You see some of the men of God, whilst prayer is going on, they have crossed their leg. They are sitting there. The devil will surely find worse one. And I don't know. What happened? So I have gone for a special appointment. You think that you have come to take a break. That is the most dangerous part of your life. See, do not try to sacrifice your personal encounter, daily appointment to God, for anything. Keep that watch. Keep that out. Watch. What happened? And he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. What? Of all days, since he became a king sitting over there, why should it be today that Bathsheba will be bathing? And David will see. The whole problem of David to Shiloh came started from this whole scenario. The thing he saw led him to do a lot of other conquering. So instead of him conquering cities and towns, he conquered Bathsheba. Hallelujah. You see, you can't run away from your natural work. He ended up doing the same thing. He went and conquered another city. And what happened? It led him to kill him. And when he killed, his son rose against him. His children went after each other. The sword never departed from the house of David because of complacency. Sometimes when you come from this spectacular engagement with God, that little window you leave is when the devil will show something that will fight you and your generation. There is not the special appointment can never ever replace your daily appointment with God. Watch out. So now this is the time you want to watch movies to revive yourself. Do other things. Oh, I've prayed a lot. I've spent 3 days with God. I'm taking 2 weeks, 3 weeks break. I want to concentrate on other things. When men slept. Finally, indoctrinating others with your special experience and personal instructions instead of the word. Most times when we come back from retreat and God give us specific instructions, one of the dangers is that we want to make it a doctrine for everybody. So when God said you should come and sow a seed of 500 Ghana cedis, you want to let everybody know, especially those of us who are in ministry, that we are all supposed to. Did God say that all of them? So an encounter can let you lead other people astray. Don't raise people based on your unique personal instructions and training that God gives you. Don't turn everybody into prophet because you're a prophet. Don't turn everybody into a teacher because you're a teacher. They grow, nurture them according to the word, so that their personalities will come out. One of the dangers that we have seen is that when people have special and they have some spectacular encounter with God, when they come, they want to make a doctrine out of it. So because he prayed 6 hours and then you see the manifestation, cripples are rising and everything, and he tells you that if you want to operate in that anointing, you have to go for a retreat for 3 days. Make sure that in that 3 days, you pray 6 hours. You pray this prayer topic. You do this thing. Do this thing, this will happen. If it is not scriptural, it is a doctrine of man that will destroy people. Even though God told you, but I can destroy others. There are things that God tells me to do. I can't let you do it. I will not tell you to do it. I will never tell you to do. It is for me and me alone. It's not for even my wife. I have nothing to do with my wife. It's me. It's not God has instructed to do that. The Father God says, I should fast doesn't mean that my family, the house is all fasting. It is you, God, to that go and fast. Feed them. You end up messing things. So you see, the encounters and I'm talking about the things that God will tell us. When we come, we want to make everybody suffer for. Or try to. No. If God said this for everybody, he'll let you know. What is your own? Keep it to yourself. Because everybody has his unique pattern to rise up. There are things that I will do uniquely. You see, I just mentioned Nathan Embassy. It doesn't mean that when you monetize your YouTube account, it's a sin. But it was his unique instruction. Imagine him making it a doctrine that as a gospel singer, you must not monetize your YouTube account. That's how people came up and said that we shouldn't tie our hair. Maybe God have instructed them that don't tie your hair because of this reason. He said it's a doctrine. Be very careful. When you go for your special appointment, you can, whatever God said to you, if it is for you, keep it to yourself. We are not interested. We are not. Follow it. Hallelujah. Can we be on our feet? Wow. Let's thank God. Father, we thank you. This has been a journey on prayer. Wow. Father, we thank you. Wow. Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us to pray. I want us to pray this prayer. I want us to pray and ask God to help us to be able to put to use his instructions. This morning, the prophet of God made mention of something that really got my attention. That we have become koshoko as a result of what we have been fed, but we don't understand and put it into use. Today I want us to pray and say, God, help us to put to use this knowledge you have received with special appointment with you, that we will benefit fully from it, in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray. Help us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.